following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach, with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, Merry Christmas, you guys. You guys are an amazing church family, that you're braving the elements. But you know, on big days, there are times on big days when you get weather. The day my wife and I, who's sitting back over here, got married, it rained, and we had an outdoor reception. So put those together. And so there were a lot of easy ups. Actually, her family ran and got a bunch of easy ups, and we set up the backyard, and we're still married. So that's a good thing. And so big events, big days, sometimes get big weather, and we're getting weathered. And you're all brave to be here. And so thank you. And for those that are watching online, thank you for joining us.
Yes, I agree with all that stuff that he just said. Thank you for being here. I've got to get this out of the wind somehow. So I know you're anxious to get back to your home and start your... How many of you guys got something special going on tonight at home?
Right on.
All right. We want to get you there as quick as possible. And but thank you for being here with us. The sun is going down. It's going to be an amazing sunset. And we're going to talk about that night. You know what night it is. We're going to talk about the passing of the light of God into this world in the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Bible says those who sat in darkness would see a great light. Probably talking about a certain time in Jesus' ministry, but it started when that son arrived, and actually even before that. So I want to explain to you a little bit. I mean, this is going to be very brief. What the world was like when Jesus came into it, and specifically what that part of the world was like. How many of you believe there might have been problems then? If you're saying yes, you win the quiz. You pass the quiz. Christmas is an invasion of light, and that light means the most when it comes into the darkest of places. And one of the darkest places on earth at that time would have been what we call the Holy Land. Some people call it Palestine or Israel. And one of the reasons it was so dark is because they'd experienced a different kind of invasion. 65 to 75 years before Jesus was born, the Romans came to town. And when the Romans came to town, things changed their way. And so there were lots and lots of conflicts when the Romans came all those years before Jesus arrived. And so with their presence, there came higher taxes. Has anybody heard anything about higher taxes? The taxes were higher. The government was interfering. I'm not going to stop for a comment on all of these. There was governmental overreach, unquestionably. And people were actually beginning to leave some of the larger cities to get away from just the crush of people where it was even hard to make a living. And they would move to the countryside. They would move to Oklahoma, Arizona. They would go to Idaho. It's happening again. Nothing's really changed. And so that's partly what it was all about there. It was just life was hard. And we're going to read tonight from the scripture about some people who began to rejoice at the coming of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, before that day when Jesus was born, Bethlehem would not have been much of a happy town. It was just another town under the heavy, heavy hand of Rome. Life was hard, full of questions for families just like yours and mine. They'd sit around whatever they had for dinner, and mom would ask dad, or dad would ask mom, or the kids would ask, so what happens next, Abba, to their father? Well, what can we expect? What's coming down the road for us? How far will the Romans go in changing our culture? And one of the primary questions, maybe, I can just imagine so many kids looking to their father and saying, Abba, is Messiah ever going to come? Will he ever come? Will the Christ come? We're going to talk about that tonight. And Jeff has more to say.
And then
about
he does.
That light.
He comes.
This Jeffrey. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He does come.
Yeah. So he's here. I mean, that's why we're here, right? That we come to celebrate the coming of Christ, that we believe that he was born in those dark times that Pastor Bill just talked about. In fact, listen to what the Bible says about him, about Jesus. He says in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let me say that again. In him was life, and the light was the life of men. And in this moment, Jesus comes as the light into the world. You know what Jesus will later say? He says this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And in that moment, what's happening is, just imagine this dark world. God, where are you? God, where are you? God, what are you doing? God, we don't see you. God does something absolutely incredible. He sends the light of life into the world. Imagine this dark globe and this one little pinpoint when Jesus lands on earth, when he's born on earth. And all of a sudden, there's light that begins to permeate from that one little spot and starts to grow. And he says, the Bible says, that this light who we know to be, help me.
Jesus.
Somebody, oh, well, let's try this again. The light is
Jesus
says, actually, he's the life of man, all of mankind. And so there's this moment where Jesus comes, and that's why you're here, that's why I'm here, because we want to celebrate this moment of Jesus coming. Here's the other cool thing. There's going to be a time when that light is shed all over the world. That there's going to be a time when darkness is pushed back and light reigns on the earth. We believe that. Do you believe that? That there's going to be a moment when sin, sadness, and sickness is pushed back and the light of Christ is all over the entire earth. And we don't have that right now, right? We can all see that in our world. It's not here yet, but we're part of that process of the growth of the kingdom of God here on earth, the light, the kingdom of light on earth. You're a part of that, and I'm a part of that. So that's why we're here to celebrate.
Amen. And, you know, imagine the world without any light. All this beautiful stuff that God made and no way to see it. And it was a world without that brilliant light of the Messiah who had been promised, coming to take care of all that darkness that we had created, that mankind. So what we're going to do today is look at the Christmas narratives that we're going to watch, the light of God being passed from one person to another, from one to another. In fact, there's going to be, let me count, 9 of them. 9 little stops, they'll all be very brief. But if you can see it, see our candle in the back one, the big one? There's supposed to be a flame on that candle. But the wind is not cooperating. So just imagine, somebody say, oh, I see the light. No, you don't. But thank you. Thanks for humoring me. But, oh, thank you, Jeff. I see the light. I see it. Thank you, brother. You know why the big one is lit? Because the big one represents God. And his light, unlike our candle, his light never goes out. His light is always shining. And anyone that wants to be exposed to that light, they can choose to be exposed to that light. So that's why the big candle was already light, because God is, his light never, ever goes out. But there's 9 more candles that we want to use today to tell the story. 3 of them are pre-Christmas candles. And the first one is the Zacharias and Elizabeth candle. Imagine that. Oh, we don't even have to imagine. Jeff has a way. Let's hear it for Jeff. Wait, way to go, Jeff. The first pre-Christmas candle, before Mary sees Gabriel, and before Joseph has his dream. And I am so thankful that when Joseph was disappointed at the fact that his fiancée was pregnant, he didn't just bolt. He didn't leave. He was trying to figure out, what do I do? I'm so thankful he slept on it before he made up his mind, before his dream gets him back into step with all of this. The light shines on this old priestly couple, Zacharias and his wife, Elizabeth. They live in an area that we're pretty sure today is what's called Ein Kerem. It's a valley just down below Jerusalem in the hills of Judea. And it was Zacharias's turn to burn incense in the temple before God, which represented the prayers of the people. And while he's there, he has this frightening encounter with an angel. Why do angels always scare people? Be nice if they had a cloaking device to sort of ease their way out of it and just glow a little bit, but that's not how it happened. So the encounter there is to set up for the forerunner. But the light would shine on Zacharias, and he would go home and tell his wife what was about to happen, that they as an older couple were about to experience a different kind of miraculous birth. The miracle of opening up the womb of a woman who never expected she would ever, by this time in life, have a baby. And yet God did the miracle, and she would give birth to John the Baptist. Though 9 months later, so 6 months before Mary has her encounter, Elizabeth and Zacharias have their encounter, and boom, the angel Gabriel says, you're in on this. And you remember what Zacharias did, right? He just high-fived the angel, said, thanks for the message, bro. No, he laughed. It's almost like it was mockery. Here's a word to the wise. Don't be dumb. Tell somebody beside you, don't be dumb. don't be dumb, because the angel just might make you dumb, take away your voice. And that's what happened to him. 9 months, he didn't get to say a thing. When he wasn't willing to say amen, so be it, then he had to pay the price, and he didn't get to spread any doubt around for those 9 months. So Zechariah's candle is lit. Next light, though, is Mary.
And I think we have someone here to read for Mary.
Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and discovered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
I think the thing that stands out to me about that text, as we've talked about the light coming into the world and the unraveling of the truth of who that light is, in this text, in verse 32, this angel says to Mary, who's going to be a mom, "He will be great." And I know all moms think their kids are great, right? But this is truly greatness. "And he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David." In other words, this child is going to have legacy that's passed down from all the way from King David, and a promise that he will have the throne. And check this out. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob." Does somebody know this? Forever. That this baby who's going to be king, his reign will last forever. And listen to the spread of this kingdom. "And of his kingdom, there will be no end." That forever light is going to extend forever and ever, and it's not going to have any space around it. It will permeate through all that darkness. So when we look at Jesus and we celebrate the coming, and what Mary is told in this moment is that your son is going to be powerful, right? That there's something special about this little one in you. What stands out for you, Bill?
There's two words with Mary: the surprise that she saw, the fearful surprise when she saw the angel. Angels always scare the daylights out of people when they show up. And that doesn't surprise me that she was surprised. But what really impresses me is her surrender. It's almost immediate. It's not a long conversation, but when she says, "Well, how can this be?" And the angel says, "Well, it's God." And in so many words, it's God that's going to do this, because nothing is impossible with God. And that at that point, she made up her mind that though she didn't say, I understand. Oh, that's all I need. I understand that. Who can understand that? It was going to be a miracle. But she said, "I am in." She said, "Be it unto me according to God's will." Mary has an awful lot to teach us. And if we could learn to approach the call of God like Mary did, even when we don't understand it. See, God doesn't expect us to understand everything that he calls us to do, but he does expect us to undertake the mission. You might not have the understanding, but undertake the mission that he calls you in. So Mary set the standard, I think, for walking by faith without a full explanation. How many of you have ever been forced to do that? You had to step in a way you didn't have all the answers. Can I ask, how many of you are the kind of person that wants to know every step before you take the first step? Come on, just honestly, there's some here. And sometimes God will not give you that luxury. You'll have to step out before you completely understand what's going to happen. So she's walking by faith without a full explanation, but she's fully embracing the call of God on her life. And I am so glad she did it. She said, "Yes, I'll have your son." It's beautiful, beautiful.
And then we get to the third candle, which is Joseph.
and this encounter that he has. And when you think about this story and what our reader is about ready to read, here's a man who's about ready to get married and finds out that his wife is pregnant and it's not from him. And he's probably already, as Bill and I were talking, he's probably already made preparations for this life together, his forever life together with his wife. And he gets this heartbreaking information, but it's given to him by an angel. So we're going to read that in a dream. And so we actually went all over Refuge and we tried to find someone who would read this so perfectly. And Joe will read the part of Joseph in this account. So we found him and here he is.
Yeah, I'm no Joseph, but here we go. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Jesus, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Well, one of the things that hits me in that is we talk about Jesus being the light of life. And the reason why he is the light of life is because he's the one that removes sin out of our life so that we can have a relationship with the living God. There's life in relationship with the living God. And the thing that sticks out to me in verse 21 here, this angel says to Joseph in the dream, he says, he will save his people from their sins. He couldn't say that to anyone else that's ever been born on the face of the earth, but he says it about Jesus because he's the light of life. He's the one that will come and set you free, set me free from our sins. And he has this promise. He says, listen, and what would Joseph have thought in that moment? He's going to come and save his people from our sins. That's a big thought. The other thought that I thought would have been huge would have been verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which you all know means what? God with us, that when this child is born, he is going to be the exact representation of the living God, and he's going to be with us. And so we celebrate at Christmas because he's Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah. And all those first three, they're all pre-Christmas. They're months before Christmas, but God is setting the stage with Zacharias and his wife, Elizabeth, who will bring into this world the forerunner, the prophet that would point everyone to Jesus. You read about him in John chapter 1, and just the scope of his ministry there. And then Mary has the encounter, Joseph has the encounter. But now it's Christmas. Now it's Christmas. And we come to the big day, the day of our Savior's birth, the day that the light came into this world, and the world would never be the same. The coming of Yeshua, the day that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Yeshua. Everybody say Yeshua. Say it like our Hebrew friends do, Yeshua, who came into this world. And now we're gonna have the Mary and Joseph reading. Go ahead. The birth.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn.
There have been so many different depictions of that. Is this going to work this time?
Yeah.
We didn't have a candle because Mary and Joseph already have a candle.
It's bigger than a candle.
So something better than
it's
a candle. Yeah.
It's celebration.
You're pointing that at me. Yeah. Everybody get your own sparklers going. Go ahead. Go ahead. Your fingertips up in the air.
That's the Jesus candle.
Jeff, it worked. It worked. You were really into this. I'm so happy for you. That works so well. That's your problem. This little light of mine. So we've all imagined that night. You've seen so many depictions. How many of you have seen any of The Chosen? Anybody seen The Chosen? What a beautiful, I've only seen the nativity version of that, but what a beautiful film it is. But we've all imagined, what did it really look like? Was Jesus born in a cave? A lot of caves in that region. Was he born in a barn? Was it a stable? I'll tell you where I've seen feeding troughs or mangers. I grew up in Ohio, in kind of out in farm country, and you see feeding troughs out in the field. And I've seen it in Australia. I've seen it in Israel, where there's a slab of stone that's been carved into a trough. And it's very likely as well, it's just as likely that it would have been out under an olive tree somewhere where sheep would have been brought in to feed for the night. We have no idea exactly what that scene looked like. We know they were far from home, far from the family they left behind, way up there in Nazareth. And we know that when they got there, there was no room for them. Nobody said, oh, let's get that precious couple in out of the cold and out of the weather. And oh, she's pregnant. Of course, honey, you can have our room. Nobody did that. They were excluded. They were kind of treated as outcasts. It was hard for everybody as the Roman government was making people move all over the place to go back home and be taxed. But somewhere out in the fields of Jerusalem, or out in the fields of not Jerusalem, but Bethlehem, God sends his messengers to alert these humble, hardworking, one of my favorite groups of people, the shepherds. We'll get to them in a minute. But the light that we're going to light next is the light of the angels. So scary angels are back. And let's listen to it in Luke chapter 2.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Thanks. I feel like the angel might be scary, but when you the multitude of angels, that would be beautiful. I think it would be amazing. Awe-inspiring. I think the thing that stands out in this particular text, and in verse 10, it says, "Then the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be,'" do you know this? "To all people, not just to your people, not the people who look just like you, who fit in your mold, but this message is going to go to all people." And I praise God for that, because we probably wouldn't have been included into your people. We would have been the other people, the Gentile people. And this message is for us. In fact, it'll be for all people, for all time, all over the face of the earth. And I think that's an incredible thing. And he goes on to say, to bring glory to God on earth and peace and goodwill towards men. That there'll be, because of this child that's been born in Bethlehem, there'll be a right standing before us and the Lord. And we can each have that. We can leave today knowing that we have a relationship with the living God. And that's an incredible thing that comes at Christmas. That the angels in all their multitude and glory were saying, go and tell people this. Go and tell people this. God has done something. Light has come onto the earth.
And I love the fact that the next people whose candle we're about to light, if these candles will light as well, are people that were travelers. They were shepherds. They're, you know, you probably could guess there were some of my favorite people in the Christmas story. I've been portraying one and now two of them for about 35 years of my 40 years of life. No, I'm older than 40. That was a poorly posed joke. But for 35 years, I've been pretending to be a shepherd and telling that story. But it was going global now. It needed to move. And so the message goes to these men who are always on the move with their flocks. They're moving from one place to another. So we've lit the shepherd candle, and now let's hear the verses from Luke chapter 2, verse 15 and on.
So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said unto one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at all these things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept them all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
I don't know that I know a whole lot about shepherding, but having played one for all these years and having studied on them a bit, they were hard working people. In fact, these shepherds might have been watching over the flock of sheep that were specifically raised for sacrifices in the temple. Some of you might have heard that before, where the temple flock was raised in those valleys around Bethlehem. And it's possible, might even, some people even say likely, that those are the shepherds that were raising the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for the sins of the people, the sacrifices there in the temple. And the shepherds were the first, and this is one thing that really grabs me about this story. They're the first ones, humanly speaking, to celebrate that are outside of what we call the Holy Family of Mary and Joseph and Mary's relatives, Zacharias and Elizabeth. So now it's moving out into the general population, and now they get to hear about it. And they make their way. They take off and they share the message about the Messiah to other people. These non-family members, now it's theirs. Which I want to say this now because I want to say it again later, and it bears repeating, that this is not just a story that we watch like a Star Wars episode or your favorite TV episode. This is our story that we get to engage in. It's not a detached story. This story is your only hope of having a relationship with God and seeing him face to face in heaven that will at that point be your home. So this message, this proclamation that it says is for all people, it was given to the shepherds as they became the first people to share that light with the general population. And again, I'm not pitching The Chosen for you, but I've never seen this depicted on film or even in a comic book before, that the shepherds, they go out and they're not just telling Jews. In that depiction, that film depiction, they go up to the Roman soldiers and tell them, Messiah has come, Messiah has come. That was the point, that he's come for all people. And so they go out through Bethlehem and the surrounding villages as they're on their way back to their sheep. And that's right, it was the shepherds that were the first ones to spread the light of God to the common people of the world. Can I see the hands of those who say, I'm just a common person? I'm just common. I'm in the herd with all of them, but I'm special to God. Well, the message of the light of the world, who is Jesus, as we know, would spread in the coming days. In fact, 40 days after Jesus was born, we get to meet a very interesting man and an old woman that had been waiting for this promise to be fulfilled, this promise from God, that he would, this one particular man, he was told, you're going to live until you see the Lord's Christ. You're going to see him. His name is Simeon. So we have we looked, did we just light the Simeon candle? So Simeon's candle is burning. Here's what we know about Simeon. The Bible says he was a devout man, a godly man. It says that he had believed God's promise and he had prepared his heart for the coming of Messiah. He had prayed and he had done the thing that we find the hardest to do. Wait. How many of you hate to wait? There should be a poem about that. The I hate to wait poem. I know you're just like me. You're standing, you know, three cars back at the red light, and it turns green. And of course, the person two cars ahead of you has to finish their text and send it before they take off. Or you're waiting. Yeah, how many of you remember this? 25, 30 years ago, it took 30 seconds to save a file on your computer. How many of you remember the endless 30 to 45 seconds to save that? We hate to wait. Hear from Simeon now, the man who learned to wait and even rejoice while he was waiting. Luke chapter 2, verse 29. That's you. That's me? Oh, I'm writing it.
Yeah.
What? Where am I? Oh, I'm here. Here it says, verse 30. Lord, verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. There it is, global again. And the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. And then he says to Mary, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Jeff, what's that say to you?
Well, I think we just kind of hit it a little bit, and you kind of hit it a little bit, which I think is perfect, is that in that verse 32, he says, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And we're talking about a light that's growing, right? That the more and more people are finding out. And this light wouldn't be exclusive to any one group of people. It'd be, and we've talked about this, but it'd be a light that would reach to all people, Jew and Gentile. And so that's an incredible light. If that message is worthy enough for God's people, and God's saying, listen, it's worthy for all people. All people who are born onto this earth, I want them to know about this light. And he was not the only one actually waiting that day. There was somebody else, as some of you know. Her name was Anna. And I want to read you that text where it says in Luke 2, 36. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She was well advanced in years. She was older. And had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple. She was faithful to God, but served God, catch this, with fasting and prayer night and day. And listen to verse 38. And coming in the instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. What did she do? She spoke about Jesus on a continual basis to those people who are looking for redemption in Jerusalem. God, when are you going to come? God, when are you come? Oh, I know this. I know he's here. He's here. It's this baby that was born. And so she goes on, and Bill's got a little something.
Yeah, something about this woman. She was one of the early evangelists for Jesus when he was a baby. And of course, she didn't know what the end of the story would be, that it would go from the cradle to the cross. But she was a wonderful, hopeful woman. And Anna strikes me as the perfect great aunt. And I'll tell you why I say great aunt. I had a great aunt whose name was Anna. But we as children couldn't say Aunt Annan. So aunt or Aunt Anna. So it turned into Annan. And Annan never had children. I think she had a suitor in her younger years. And I don't know why that never worked out, but when her sister, my grandmother, passed away, when my mom was 7, I think, and my uncle was 4, Annan stepped in. She said, give me those children. And she just poured her life into those children. She had such a heart of a mother. She was like sweetness and sugar. She was sunshine. I never heard, it's like the song, where never was heard a discouraging word from Annan. She was like the presence of hope to people. And this Anna is the same. She had a gift of mercy. The Bible says that she had been a widow for a long, long time, had married, but her husband passed away. They had no children. And I said it in the drama the other day that Anna had decided, if I can't live with my beloved husband, then I'll live with my beloved God. And she moved into the temple. And she approaches anybody that was looking for hope. And to tell them about the reconciliation that was about to take place, to tell them about the consolation that comes from God now that the Messiah was here among her. So no wonder God let Anna be one of the very, very first to take a peek at this baby Messiah that had just been born and dedicated. And then we get to the end of the account, and we see some people who come, non-Jews, they're Gentile people who have come, men that have come from far away to see this child who'd been born in Jerusalem. And they'd come for a long, long time. These men came following a star, ready to worship the light of the world, the King of the Jews. And so we light the Magi candle. This is the arrival of these high-ranking Gentiles from the East. They were Magi. They were not kings. We don't know exactly what they were. Some say they were astronomers. Others will say, no, they were more than astronomers. Some say they were even astrologers. They were looking to the heavens. They didn't understand the way of God accurately. They maybe didn't have their doctrine straight, but they were looking in the right direction. They were looking to the heavens for help. And so I just think it's so God, the way that he allowed them to see this light and to bring in these Gentiles, maybe from the land where Daniel had ministered for so many years, moving in the right direction. They came to do the thing we all need to do. They said what? We have come to worship him. And if you haven't come to worship him yet, then you haven't discovered the light of the world that wants to burn brightly in your heart and your life. And we got Matthew chapter 2. Am I reading that one? Are you reading that one? I got
someone else. Matthew 2, 9.
Oh, I know him.
Matthew 2:9. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly, great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They begin divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way.
Thanks, son. One of the things that all these people, all these candles represent is someone who received the light. They heard the message about Jesus and they received the light. The second thing they all have in common is they became distributors of the light. They received the light and they distributed the light. That last candle that's not lit, we didn't forget anyone in the Christmas account. You're part of it. It's part of your story. In fact, there's a miracle that happens for many of you where the Lord, and I don't know what season of life you're in, where either you were just in love with the Lord or maybe you were in a low point in your life, God comes to you and gives you the light, the message of the light, who is the life of all mankind. And you put your faith in him and trust in him, and that light then becomes you. You receive the light. The second thing then, you know what, you, just like all of them, right? They all became, received the light, and then they became distributors of that light. You and I are distributors of the light. Now let me take you back just real quick. God comes in the form of Christ, right? He's born, a little baby in Bethlehem. The light has come. We just talked about it. The light has come. The light begins to spread. News of what God has done begins to spread. And it's the light and life of man. It reaches all the way to 2000, and here we sit, and you have received, many of you have received the light. If you have not received the light, you have not received life. And God would have you change that today, that God would say, listen, I want to come, and I want to dwell with you. I want to be in you. I want you to be a part of my family, and I want to walk with you in these incredibly difficult times, these dark times. And what's going to happen over time is that light begins to permeate through the darkness in your life. But also, listen, as corporately as the family of God, we are light bearers that take this to our home, take this to our workplace, take this to school, and we share the light with other people, and we become part of the growing light that is God's kingdom on the earth. Amen? And then Bill comes.
It seemed like both services, the wind died down just about at the right time, and maybe I misjudged that a little bit. I want to say it again as we prepare to light the candles and as the worship team comes back to lead us in Silent Night. How could we gather tonight and not sing Silent Night? But I want to remind you, this is your story. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened in the world. The time that Jesus spent on this earth, from his arrival to his departure, where he purchased your salvation. You weren't saved because he came. You were saved because he died, because he was crucified, and then he was risen from the dead. It's your story. It's your drama of redemption. Your Savior has been born. So I ask you, make Christmas personal. Make it personal. Make it relational. Collectively, we as the family of God here in Huntington Beach, we are a bright light. And we are brightest when the times around us are darkest. And the times around us are dark right now. And they're questionable. We don't know what our immediate future will look like. And not just for Americans, but for the world that we're in. I wonder if God isn't saying something to us at this time to get our eyes off of the distractions that keep us from looking to him and look to our Savior. The scripture says, look to me. God says, look to me and be saved. And so I just implore you today, let that happen. Make that decision. Say, yes, Jesus, save my soul. Forgive my sin and save my light. Light is best expressed by love and kindness, isn't it? We're living through a pandemic right now. And people have different opinions about this pandemic, but we're living through it at this time. And I want to campaign for a different kind of a pandemic, a pandemic of kindness, a pandemic of love, a pandemic of mercy that we express to one another, and tenderness and love and peace and joy and maybe even patience at the red lights. You know, why don't we start spreading that in the name of Jesus, but receiving all of those wonderful treasures from him and passing it on, because that's what he came to give you, life in him expressed in his life. So we're going to sing Silent Night, and you've been waiting to sing this, and now it's your turn. You are that candle, the number 9 candle. That's you guys. So let's light our candles and sing out your heart, and then we have one last blessing for you before we go. We have one more song for you while the rest of the candles are being lit. Let me get the pronunciation correct on our special guest tonight. And their names are, their name together, Hula o Napua Alani. Is that close enough? Good. Yeah, perfect. Wow, I don't do anything perfectly. Every tongue and every nation, every tribe and generation, Christ is born, Son of Mary, Holy Son of God. Peace to you, peace to you, peace to you, peace that passes understanding. Now and everlasting, Christ is born, Son of Mary, Holy Son of God. Peace to you. A child is born, a son is given, his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Peace to you, peace to you, to the broken and the lonely comes the humble and the holy. Christ is born, Son of Mary, Holy Son of God. Peace to you. Sing glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Again, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace to you, peace to you. And now the humble and the holy seeks, the broken and the lonely. Christ is born, Son of Mary, Holy Son of God. Now this gentle little stranger will be called the friend of sinners. Peace to you. Peace to you. Oh, that beautiful. Peace to you. Let's all stand together. Carefully, if you got your candle still lit. Peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to you. Sing that again. Peace to you. Look at somebody else as you're singing that. Peace to you. Peace to you. One last time. Peace to you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And peace to you too. And maybe you're one of those who is the broken and the lonely. Maybe you're one of those that is the prisoner that Jesus came to set free, and the blinded eyes that need to be opened to his love. Let his light shine upon you and receive that light. Receive that invitation like Mary did, to let Christ be born in you and to give you the life that you've been longing for and looking for all of your life. Well, thank you so much for being here with us tonight and celebrating the birth of the Son of God who came into this world to save sinners just like you and I. So if you lift your candle up, everybody can see it, and say, thank you, Jesus, for coming for me, and blow it out. Now, with all that light missing, you got to go be candle 9 in the world, all right? Go shed that light of Jesus Christ. Pass it on to others in his great name. And thank you to all the singers and the players tonight and the readers. And God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas. Absolutely wonderful Christmas.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.